This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mullion Haw starts now.
The Blackhawks sent Seth Jones in a 2026 fourth-round pick to the Panthers for a 2026 first-round pick and young goalie Spencer Knight, as well as retaining 25% of Jones' deal through 2030. Who won the trade, and do you still believe GM Kyle Davidson's plan?
Let's be very clear here. Kyle Davidson did exactly what you should want him to do in pulling off this trade. When Seth Jones went public the first time, you thought, well, maybe he'll get dealt, maybe he won't. When he went public the second time, it was a mandate. And it was Seth Jones daring the Blackhawks and pushing them closer to this point of no return, as it turned out. And that's why Kyle Davidson telling Tony Granato that there was an increased sense of urgency after those comments by Seth Jones, it accelerated the process. That made it harder to trade him as well. Not easier, harder. Seth Jones wanted to go to Dallas and Columbus. Those were his top choices. He has a no-movement clause. Made it even harder and complicated. Florida makes a lot of sense. Look, if the Panthers win the Cup and Seth Jones has something to do with that, they will not worry or whine or complain or mind trading a first-round draft pick and a goalie of the future. Their backup goalie. They have one of the best goalies in hockey, Bobrovsky. So they can afford to trade the guy who was the goalie in waiting. But Spencer Knight to the Blackhawks is their goalie of the future, as it appears. And Kyle Davidson getting a first-round draft pick and only having to retain 25% of that salary is a win, a big win. Hawks have had 8 first-round draft picks the last 3 seasons. They've got 2 more this year. They've got 2 more the year after that. This is how you bottom out and try to climb back. We're ready for the climb back, though. Hawks need to go out and spend some money. Hawks need to be serious about winning. We thought that was this year. It's not. It's got to be next year. You won this trade. Now you got to start winning some games.
Totally agree. You won the trade. Win some games. This also was the end, right, of the Stan Bowman era,
yeah.
Meaning like this was the last guy on this current Blackhawks team that had Stan Bowman stink on him.
Yes, you're right.
Right? Like, yeah. So now this is completely Kyle Davidson didn't give the Seth Jones contract to Seth Jones. That was Stan Bowman. So now this is okay. That's it. Now there's no more excuses, Kyle Davidson. And a buddy of mine lives down in Miami and follows the Panthers pretty closely. He said this, there's a lot of great reports on this kid, this goalie, and that this is like this guy's going to be good. But you want to see him right? Don't we want to see him?
Want to see him right away?
Immediately,
right away,
right? So
he was a first round draft pick,
right.
13th overall.
So let's see Soderblom and him. Bye bye, Peter Mrazek. Bye bye. No more of you. Thanks for playing.
Trade deadline's Friday.
I love this trade from Kyle Davidson. I think he did a solid job. I know he gets a lot of criticism, as he should, because you want to see a second star with Connor Bedard, and that's his goal to find that. But with Seth Jones talking, we talked about it. I don't even think Seth Jones played that well. So the fact that this season, and if you think about his whole Blackhawks career, I don't think much of it. So the fact that you got a conditional first-round pick for it, I mean, bravo for Cal Davison. Yeah, you're paying 25% of the salary, but that was expected. You wanted to know how much. 25%, okay, it's not bad. You're not paying half. You're not paying the majority of it. It's okay. But I'm really excited to piggyback off what Dustin said is this Spencer Knight kid. Because same thing, I researched him. I was like, I want to see more about this Spencer Knight. And rave reviews. Like, the team is just so good in the Panthers to me that that's the only reason why. And the goalie ahead of them is better right now. But they need some goaltending. It makes me think about that game they played when they played against the Golden Knights when they scored so many goals. But then they gave up just as many. So you need a young goaltender to help along. Maybe this guy can be a nice building piece with Connor Bedard. So overall, I love this trade. Good job by Cal Davison.
Such a good question.
With the Underwear Olympics, known as also the NFL Combine, wrapping up after the weekend workouts, what stood out from a batch of potential offensive linemen? LSU offensive tackle Will Campbell's short arms, Alabama guards Tyler Booker's credentials. Anything else stand out?
Watching these guys run the 40 is amusing. And they ran the 40 yesterday, and I found myself between the Cubs and the NFL Network's coverage of the Combine, kind of going back and forth, and fascinated by some of the speed of some of these linemen. Will Campbell, I think, ran a 4.940. That's moving. That dude can move. He's an athlete. I looked into this arm length thing, and I know that it's interesting because you can definitely point to examples of guys, and it does matter. I'm not going to diminish the value of it, but I also think that when you got a guy like Will Campbell, who has blocked as many future NFL pass rushers as he did at LSU, you like the way that he attacks the edge rusher. You like the way that he has found a way to make that anything but a weakness. He scoffed at it. It may be a situation that will cause him to move inside. I even looked up Peter Skronsky's arm length compared to Will Campbell's arm length, and I think that there's maybe a half of an inch difference. Maybe even less than that, 32 5/8 and 32 1/4, something to that degree. Peter Skronsky got moved inside. He was a terrific offensive tackle at Northwestern. He's going to have a terrific NFL career. So will Will Campbell. So I found myself down that rabbit hole. And then listening to Tyler Booker, as we heard in the opening segment, I like his nasty. He's nasty as an offensive lineman. An offensive lineman needs to be nasty, tenacious, attacking. He would fit that Bears locker room, and I think Ben Johnson would love him. He might be his Penei Sewell. He may play guard, but that might be the guy. And then, obviously, how can you talk about the combine over the weekend without talking about Kem Scadaboo, the running back that all Bears fans will fall in love with if he ends up being a Bear? And he did meet with the Bears brass. He also jumped 39.5 inches for the second highest vertical among running backs. Kid's an athlete. So there are a lot of things that may have nothing to do with what's on the tape, but what was on the TV screen over the weekend was entertaining.
It's always entertaining, right? Seeing these big human beings move at the rate that they move is always very, very impressive. I don't want to butcher the guy's name, but everybody saw him. The South Carolina safety basically could be an Olympian. His numbers were off the charts. Something the Bears need, right, David, is a safety. So, I mean, I'm not saying a 10, but I'm just saying maybe in the second round, depending on how much buying they do as the free agency period gets going as early as March the 10th. But it's always about measurements. Everything is about measurements down there. So at the Senior Bowl, Jalen Milroe's hands were 8 3/4 inches. at the combine, his hands were 9 3/8 inches.
Come on!
How did that happen?
How did that happen?
I mean, it blew chew. I mean, like, how does one's hands grow between what? How does that? And then all this talk, you mentioned it. Will Campbell, his arms. Okay. How about this? If you don't trust him at tackle, go ahead and draft this guy's Bears. Go ahead, move him to guard. And then eventually, when you get done with the current left tackle, Braxton Jones, move him out to left tackle once he figures out how to play at the NFL level. But this whole, and then the edge rush, Jack Sawyer, So now, you know, he had a great national championship game against Notre Dame, but people are upset about his – guy can play football.
Yes.
Okay, it's all about playing football.
It's about playing football.
I mean, when you put the shoulder pads and pads on, much different than when you have your Lululemon shorts on and your track shoes on running around on the AstroTurf at Lucas Oil Stadium. Very, very different. Those are two – these are not the same.
Nick Emmanuori is the South Carolina safety, I believe. Okay.
But his numbers were crazy, crazy. I mean, just – it was like unbelievable. Jumped out of the place. His 40 time was unbelievable. Just somebody like Olympian type numbers.
I feel indifferent about the NFL draft combine just because of the fact that to go off what Dustin's saying, I just look at the film. The film would tell you. But I do like hearing from these guys. And
right.
I got to say this. I love. I told you this, David. I love Tyler Booker. I love him. I hope he's the pick at number 10. Now, you know, he's kind of projected more in the teens, but I feel like he can have that Darnell Wright type of kind of push as he rises up. And I see that with Tyler Booker. I love how he talks. We played his cut. You know, he said we got audio too that he said he's modeled his game after Trey Smith. I mean, if you missed out on Trey Smith and he was your target, you got a younger guy who's cheaper. And he models his game after not just Trey Smith, Quentin Nelson, too. You got to love
that. Those are two nasty guards.
And like you said, nasty's the key. And with Tyler Booker and Will Campbell, one thing that you're getting from both these guys is the nasty. I love how they talk, and that's what you need for this offensive line.
Just to close the loop on what Dustin was referring to, Nick Emmanuori, the South Carolina safety, 6'3", 220. He ran a 4.38.
I mean, come on. I mean, come on. Think about it. That's so fast. And that matters. Like, the safety, safety 40 times, those matter. You know, how fast the safety goes in a straight direction.
Okay, I know. And you fall in love with these ideas, but then you think, okay, Bears have three of the first 41 picks. If they used one of those on a safety, we'd come in Friday morning or the next Monday and say they wasted a pick on a safety.
Depending on what they do. And here's the thing. Are we assuming that Brisker's back? Like
no.
That's something I'm a little bit disappointed, and I don't know if you – but I'm just shocked that we've had access two times to the Bears general manager and the new Bears head coach, and I don't think Brisker's name ever came up. I mean, let them say, too early to tell, can't talk about that. But how is Brisker? Is anybody following him on social media? Is he active on social
media? He's talking like a guy who is going to come back.
Okay, good. But then I'd love to hear that from his general manager or his head
coach. Because he also sounded like a guy last year that was ready to come
back. Well, you know he wants to come back, right? Like, he's not a guy. He's not soft.
True.
Nobody's going to use the word soft with Brisker.
He's also not 6'3", 220 and runs a 4.38.
No. So,
That's a great question.
Ayo Dosunmu is going to miss the rest of the season and have shoulder surgery. How big of a setback is this for him and for the Bulls? And how much could either Ayo's developments stunt him or his trade value? Which is the bigger concern?
I don't know that Ayo Dosunmu is going to be a part of the Bulls' future. And I think that's why this injury and this season-ending surgery is even a little bit more significant. There are two things that are true. Number one, Billy Donovan is exactly right. Ayo Dosunmu embraced this new style of play. The pace and the approach and going downhill when he needed to. And just he was terrific when he played and when he was healthy. So he is somebody that, as we know, has he's outplayed his draft status. He's been an asset to the organization. And I think there's a part of you as a Bulls fan that says, local guy, he's the ideal Bull. He's a consummate competitor. Keep him for as long as you can keep him. That's why that when he signed the contract extension through next season, everybody was happy. And he's got that deal through next year. Next year's a contract year, which is why the other thing could be true. He's also a trade piece this summer with an expiring contract that might help in a deal, a bigger deal, if you're going to make such a deal. And I don't know what the Bulls are doing because I'm not sure they know what they're doing. I think when you hear listen to the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast, Stacey King and Mark Schanowski, they interview Arturis Karnachovas, and it's back and forth. It's more the same that we have heard before. I don't know if the Bulls are embarking on a path where they're going to be active in free agency and try to go for a playoff spot next year, or if they're going to try to bottom out over the summer by getting rid of all the assets so they're playing for the 2026 draft, which AK says is pretty good. Everything seems pretty good. They're going to get a pretty good player. They're going to have a pretty good draft. You know what the season has been? Not pretty good. So when Ayo goes down, I think I understand – why there's disappointment. And I think that there's concern about, well, let's hope that he hasn't played his last Bulls game, because I would rather see him right now coming back and staying in as an asset to this organization and the city, rather than moving on and put it on another uniform and say, oh, you remember when he was a good Bull.
Yeah, I agree. I hope this is not the last we're going to see of him. Here's the thing. I think if the Bulls were even pretty good, David, instead of being pretty bad, that Io would not be having this surgery. I think management probably said, listen, you need it. We don't want you to have this in the off. We want you to be better sooner than later. So why push it? We're not going anywhere. I think this was more of a management decision than an IO decision. I believe what Casey Johnson said on CHSN, that, again, he's another guy, tough as nails, and wouldn't have voluntarily had this surgery. So, again, this helps in hashtag capture the flag.
This, to me, hurts more of his trade value. I'm with you guys. I don't want to see Io go. He's my second favorite Bull behind Bouzelis. I love the local guys, and I love the way they play. So Io is a solid player overall. To go back what you were saying, David, too, just to take it off this a little bit, the AK interview with Give Me the Hot Sauce, the thing that bothered me with it was, like you said, it was back and forth. It was the same stuff we're hearing. We're rebuilding, but we're still trying to compete for the play-in. We're trying to look at the draft and just get a very good player. I don't want a good player. I want a great player. Like, I want a plan in place, a more of a solid plan. And good to me is just like average. That's where you're at. Ninth, tenth, you're in the play-in. I want more. But Io, you want him. I do agree. I think it was a management decision. I mean, at this point, we're trying to just get those lottery balls up. So overall, I think it helps in this long term for this offseason. And then maybe, who knows, if he's better, maybe he might get traded in the offseason, but I don't want to see him go.
Matas Bouzelis is your favorite Bull?
Yes.
How many people do you think are out there where that is the case? Bulls fans. I wonder. This should be a good question for later. Matas Bouzelis is your favorite Bull? Interesting.
He got one the biggest applause to me when they say his name in the starting lineup, so
I don't know if that answered the question.
That is the voice of Billy Donovan. On Friday, Coby White hit a four-point play with just 5 seconds left that sent the game into overtime, where the Bulls beat the Raptors. Did this team get any better after the trade of Zach LaVine and the injury to the Vooch instead of worse? Are there new pieces, Zach Collins, Kevin Herter, and Trey Jones, worth keeping around?
It's a question I didn't really ask seriously after the trade. It's one I didn't think we'd be asking this long after the trade. But I watched the Bulls on Friday night, and I watched them again yesterday, and they didn't beat the Pacers. It was a better game than I anticipated against the Pacers, a playoff team. They played them tough until the fourth quarter on the road under different circumstances and without Io. And Herter didn't play yesterday. But I'm impressed with Zach Collins, and I haven't been disappointed by Trey Jones. He definitely pushes the pace. He's a guy that can be a catalyst offensively. I don't know if they're better. I think it's absurd to almost ask, because Vooch and Zach were guys who were having all-star-like seasons. And yet here the Bulls, they're playing pretty well together. This is a credit to me, to Billy Donovan, as much as anything. I know people like to criticize him, look at the record and all that. But Billy Donovan has not let go of the rope. I love the fact that he still coaches to win. And I understand why that doesn't make sense, and it bothers some people, because they pull out the percentages and say, well, you know, instead of a 10% chance, he's got a 6% chance, and that's all on Billy Donovan. Okay, that's on everybody. But when we have these conversations moving forward, I want this to happen. I understand the math, people. I understand the logic. Show me an example where it worked. Show me an example where somebody tanked and it worked in the NBA. Show me an NBA example, or several of them. And don't talk to me about David Robinson or Tim Duncan, and don't go back to the modern day. Last 5 to 10 years. Tell me an example where it worked.
Well, I mean, I was a little bit surprised they beat the Raptors. That's for sure. That did not help hashtag capture the flag. I guess maybe Zach Collins. I mean, if Zach was still here, they would be in more games. If Zach was here, they probably win the game against the Pacers yesterday, just because of, from an effort standpoint. I think the Pacers took them not seriously. It was a weird start. It was a 3:30 3:30 tip, so like 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central. Just an odd time. And I think these NBA guys are in a real routine, and they don't play a whole bunch of day games ever. So I just think that might have also played into this if it was an 8 o'clock Eastern start, a 7 o'clock Chicago start. So there's no way they're better. And David, to your point, are we really sure what the Bulls' plan is? Not really. And I'm still, you know, I'm more concerned. We could listen to this Billy Donovan cut again. I used it during the pregame if you want to go there. But I'm confused about why Bozelas is not playing in the final moments of games. And it's about his maturation and this, that. That's about his maturation? Are you trying to win? Was he not in because they're trying to lose, but they don't want to tell us that they're trying to lose? So I think that's something that's interesting. Like, why is Matas Bozelas, young Brandon Fryer's favorite player, not playing at the end of games?
That was a diss.
I know that's a diss. So, first off, no, they're not a better team, I don't think. Anytime you lose, I know Dustin doesn't like him, Max Levine, but anytime you lose a former All-Star, I don't think you're better overall. And then on top of that, when that trade happened, your next best player, Vooch, was actually worse, and now he's not even playing anymore. So I don't think they're a better team. I think what it is now, you got a lot of young players and a lot of guys that's probably on expiring contracts are just trying to prove themselves, and they play a little bit harder. The only player that I see that got a lot better from this is Giddey. From it all, he looked like he's improved because he got the ball more in his hands. But, I mean, the Bulls seem like they don't have a plan. That's why this team's so up and down. Now, these pieces, Zach Collins, you know, Trey Jones, Herter, I think these are solid pieces to have around, but I don't know if it's worth keeping them that much. I'd rather see the young guys play and just keep going from there.
It's a great question.
That is the voice of Matt Shaw, and with Matt Shaw making his Cubs spring training debut on Sunday, about 2 weeks before opening day in Japan. He went 0-for-3. How would you assess his chances of making this trip, and what'd you think? And how much was it nice to see Gage Workman and John Birdie factor into the decision on who goes, who doesn't go, who plays, who doesn't play when they get to Japan and play a real game, believe it or not, on March the 18th, a real Cubs game?
I love that Craig Council said just enjoy the day, and that's what he did. And his interview in the dugout with Elise Menaker indicated that he was having fun. I like the fact that he was interacting with Justin Turner, which is a great little – it's a great guy to learn from and a great little combination and relationship to keep an eye on. I don't know if he's going. I hope he does ramp up and they take him with, because I think there's value there. I hope he's on track to start opening day. If he isn't, soon thereafter. I won't be disappointed necessarily. I won't be devastated if he doesn't go on the trip. Maybe a little disappointed. I wonder, as Gage Workman looks really strong at the plate as a left-handed component, do they think an option early would be platooning there? I don't know. John Birdie, he's versatile. He played second base yesterday and made a nice play. The Cubs have better depth at the infield spots. They have better depth on the bench than they did a year ago, and that's progress. So I hope Matt Shaw continues to improve and progress, and I hope that they find room for all these good bench pieces.
I find it highly unlikely that Matt Shaw goes to Japan. Now, I'm not saying I agree with it. I just don't. If you're not going to take Nico Horner, then why would you take Matt Shaw? That's the question. And now, then the bigger question becomes, who's playing second base and third base? We talk about these guys.
Well, there's different injuries, though. They're different injuries.
Well, but one's a forearm and one's an oblique.
Okay.
Right? I'm saying, but we have still not seen the debut of Nico Horner in spring training, and I'm guessing that we're probably not going to see that debut until after the Cubs go to Japan, and there'll still be games in Arizona. He'll still have the ability to get at-bats because there'll be guys left behind that aren't going to go. It's very interesting. Let's see. But I think Gage Workman has done enough so far in the spring that you feel like, okay, you could get away with two games of him, and if you really had to, let's see what happens with Justin Turner. Like that, you know, for two games against his old team, the wily old veteran, let's see what happens.
I'll be okay if Matt Shaw didn't go to Tokyo. I'll be a little disappointed because I want to see him. But right now, I got spring training to watch, so I'm fine with it right now. And really, it's probably because the other, like, Workman and Birdie and even Turner, they've been okay. They've been solid. So I feel like, just to piggyback off what Dustin's saying, the fact that it's only two games – I would like to see everybody there. It's in Japan. It's a big game. But having these guys there real quick, they'll be fine. I'd rather have Matt Shaw's health be more the important long-term goal for the Cubs right now.
It's a wonderful question, one that I've been thinking about.
That's the voice of Bruce Levine. He'll be here with David at 8:25, live from spring training. And the White Sox, they scored 18 on Saturday, and starter Davis Martin was strong on Sunday. Luis Robert Jr. homered on Saturday. How likely is it that Robert has a bounce-back season? How closely are teams evaluating him this spring with the idea of making a deal before potentially opening day?
If he has a strong spring, I think that Chris Getz has got to get active on the phone and maybe have a Dylan C situation where you make a deal right before opening day. And if this is inevitable, sooner rather than later is fine, because you can get some prospects, get them in your system, and get going. Get on with it. Get on with it. Luis Robert Jr., yeah, that Saturday, that looked like the guy that you remember. Not from last year, though, before that. So let's hope that is a good sign. Davis Martin was also very good. Sox scored 18 runs on Saturday. They have four games that matter in the standings in March, beginning March 27th, opening day against the Angels. Will they score 18 runs in those four games? I don't know. That may be more than their entire output in the regular season games on Saturday. They scored 18 on Saturday. Long may it last.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun story, 18 runs on Saturday. We were talking about how many games they play four games, David, in March. So I would bet under 18 runs in those four games in March. Now, I would hope they would score 18 runs in the month of April. That would be pretty amazing if that didn't happen. That'll be really bad if that doesn't happen. But do you think they'll score 18 runs in four home games in March, three against the Angels, one against the Twins?
Nope.
No. No shot, right? There is absolutely no shot. And also, when you talk about Luis Robert Jr., the comeback from the 2024 season, why would you ever, an opposing team, why would you give him anything to hit? Now, I know he can go out and reach for, but I mean, why would you throw anything over the plate? He's got no protection in the lineup.
No protection.
Right? Zero. So, I mean, why would you let that guy? Again, he's very good. He's a very good baseball player.
I'd pitch
player.
Around him every time
right?
he was
I mean,
at the
would
plate.
You would you go so far as to give him just no, like, go to first? Like, because, he could reach out, like, Kelly Lee style in the Bad News Bears and go, go grab something that's out of the zone.
No to 18 runs in four games. I do not see that happen, so I'll go with the under in that one. Luis Roberts, I do not expect a bounce back year. With this team, like, I do not – there's nobody around him. With Andrew Vaughn, like, I don't see no one out around him. I see they can pitch around him. Spring training, he's doing good right now, and I guess you can showcase that. I feel like if he does start off hot right away, you want to trade him as soon as possible because you don't know about his health, too. That's another reason.
The biggest factor.
That's one of Brandon. The biggest things. You want to make sure – right now he's looking good. It's spring training. You're not really trying to strategize too much in spring training. You're just trying to get your pitches off and make sure you got your right stuff. I understand that. But if he starts off hot right away, I mean, I'm trading him. He should be the first name that should be gone right now. Anybody.
And the Andrew Benintendi injury should have no effect on your willingness or ability to trade Luis Robert Jr.
Not at all. I say trade him right now. Let the young guys play. Let's keep it going.
You see who had two hits yesterday? Oscar Colas. He keeps hitting.
Mully's guy.
Cuban Otani. Yes. He has a shot to make the team. All right. That is our pick six. When we come back, the extra point. Bears related. You want to catch this.